Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Extra time.
Hello and welcome back to the Extra Time podcast, where we have a very special episode for you. Some of you may remember a few months ago I had Will Brazier join me as we looked at a championship playoff preview. Well, I can tell you he is back for another championship special. This time we're looking ahead at the season. Will, how are you? How excited are you to have football back? And how do you feel about Birmingham City's chances this year?
I mean, Henry, it's the best time of the year. People say it's Christmas, but for me, it's that anticipation and I get caught up in it. I've been putting £20 on Blues to get promoted for the last 10-11 seasons. I don't think we've hardly been in the top half. So the optimism is there. The 3 points are in the bag already, which I'm sure we're going to get into. But I am absolutely delighted that Championship football is back because it is the best league in the world.
It is, and we'll have a bit more on that certainly later. I'm obviously very happy to be here now back in the Championship where I think the guys at Football Daily say I and Fulham belong. So I'll be following it with a lot more intensity this year. But if we kick off, because obviously we're 1 week into the fixtures so far, was there anything, obviously it's unbelievably early days, but as you said, the anticipation of that first round is always so huge. But was there anything you picked up from the weekend's results that has maybe given you an inclination of what we're going to expect this year?
I think it was more down the bottom half of the table for me, Henry, just at the start of it. I mean, going into the first game of the season, Derby County, there was even talk about could they field an 11, what that 11 would be. So to get a point against Huddersfield, and I do think, I'm sure we'll get into it a bit later, but if it's just that starting 11, that's quite a strong starting 11 for Derby County. But as we saw last night in the Carabao Cup, it's when you sort of slip out of that and then you've got to bring in those squad players, which you're going to have to do for the duration of a season, that they're going to struggle. So, I mean, to get a point on the board against probably in Huddersfield Town, another relegation rival, not too bad just for the chaos, and that's going to see how that unravels. And I think the standout performance of the weekend for me, Hull City 4-1, not many changes to that starting 11, just carrying on with the absolute goal machines that they've got there, coming up from League One last year, 4-1 away at Preston. They were 1-0 down to start with, keeper got injured at Preston, but I mean, Hull City, and Grant McCann as well. I mean, the guy's been through it a lot, but he's turned it around, got him promoted after relegation, and I mean, Hull City, an exciting proposition, which is something not many people have probably said for the last 10 years.
Yes, I mean, I've been looking at a fair few previews across different sort of media platforms, and one will back Hull City to do unbelievably well this year. The others are saying they're going to really struggle, they haven't got maybe the kind of right personnel for the championship. But I completely agree with you. I mean, what an impressive result. I also think it was quite telling, the top end of the table, because we'll get into how competitive that is going to be. Because the reason I think this is such an exciting year is I can't remember a more open championship season. When you look at some of the teams that are in there right now, I think there are some other teams like Middlesbrough who are coming sort of into fruition, Stoke City right now. And I'm not sure the relegated sides are maybe as strong as they could have been in previous years. And I think we saw that. I think Fulham drawing with Middlesbrough in their opening game, another 2-2 elsewhere between West Brom and Bournemouth there. So I think it's going to be so open this year and I'm so excited. But I think we should start where you kind of sort of pushed us towards there, which is that Derby County situation, because I think that is one of the biggest talking points of the summer. We finished off our previous podcast by maybe suggesting they could have a points deduction for sort of financial fair play issues, and sure enough, I think that's still looming over their head, isn't it, Will? I mean, can you help me kind of make sense of what on earth has been going on at Derby County and some of the kind of the disastrous moments? Because, I mean, Wayne Rooney must be scratching his head at the kind of job that he has on his hands there after a difficult summer of his own.
Well, I think Derby have been in the Championship even longer than Birmingham City, which is a sort of an achievement in itself. But over the last sort of 4 to 5 seasons, I think they've been doubling down and sort of gambling on getting promotion. And we've seen that with sort of the Frank Lampard era, even the money when Gary Rowett was there, they spent a lot of money. And it's not happened. Mel Morris wants to get out. They thought they had an owner. Haven't got an owner coming in. And I think they're in this state of limbo at the moment where they're just looking for a resolution. As a Birmingham City fan, with my Birmingham City fan hat on, I don't have too much sympathy for them. For them to have avoided a points deduction so far, in the nicest way possible, yeah, is what it is. I think, yeah, they're definitely going to struggle this season. I don't really have too much sympathy for them in the fact that, you know, they've gambled everything on getting up and it's not paid off. And, you know, Mel Morris is pulling the plug and they're suffering for it. Now, it's always the fans that suffer in this situation. And it's not fair. It's not right. But it's just where we are right now.
Yes, they've been bleeding players, lost sort of Martin Waghorn, so Scott Malone's left. And something, look, according to Transfermarkt, they only have 17 registered first team players, and that includes three keepers. Well, two of those players are injured at the moment. One of those who's injured is Jason Knight, who is probably their biggest prospect at the club. And Wayne Rooney, in training, managed to put him, I think he's injured him for about 3 months inadvertently in a tackle there, which is just an absolute nightmare. They've got like a transfer embargo, which means that they can only sign four players on 1 year deals at the moment. So they bought in Ravel Morrison, which I'm really pleased for. Really pleased for Ravel Morrison. Love to see if he can. I think he's really going to have to step up in this derby side. He's going to get minutes, and that's for sure. So hopefully, we say it over and over again, but hopefully this is his redemption season. But they've also bought in Ryan Allsopp and Richard Stearman, and another sort of big keeper there. So, I mean, that Colin Kazim Richards is going to be leading the line. He's what, about 34 plus there. So it's not looking, like you say, particularly hopeful for Derby, and that points deduction could be coming at any moment too, due to the sort of the financial fair play woes. But drawing their first game against Championship strugglers Huddersfield Town will be a bit of a boost. They got their noses in front there, but they couldn't quite hold on. So yeah, I've seen a lot of people pip Derby for bottom this year. I mean, it makes me sad to say to see it, because I think Derby at their best are a good club, and it, like you said, it's just been a bit of a giant capitulation. But I mean, can you see Derby holding on this season, or do you think that kind of relegation is almost an accepted reality over over in Derbyshire this year?
You know, I like to be a glass half full man. I think that's the right phrase. But no, yeah, there's no way they're staying up this season, just because there's too much turmoil. Like you said, the points deductions overhanging them as well. One positive, I mean, if you like Football Manager, it might be a good rebuild job there. So, you know, there's a narrative to take yourself away there. But no, for Derby County, it's doom and gloom, which again, it goes back to the fans. I mean, they've been getting 30,000 in Pride Park, and they've been in the Championship for, what, 11, 12 seasons? So the fan base is going to suffer, and, you know, that's the state of modern-day football, isn't it?
All right, well, we'll revisit Derby later on. If we look at some of the other big news of the summer, it was that managerial merry-go-round, sort of not loads of transfers, really, but sort of big moves and people on the touchline. Starting with, I suppose, Scott Parker from Fulham to Bournemouth. Now, I've been trying to make sense of this in my head. Actually, a lot of Fulham fans aren't too sad to see him go. That was what I...
Really?
The boss... I mean, the love affair was kind of there with it. He finished off his career at Fulham, made over 100 league appearances, whatever, and then came on when we were kind of struggling. Obviously, we got relegated, but then he brought us back again. And then, obviously, last season, I think just sort of the manner in which the season ended, when Fulham really put themselves in a shot of staying up and then sort of failed to win any of their last eight matches. It's kind of really a damp ending to the season. And it's no secret that he's got, he had a bad relationship with Tony Khan. For anyone that doesn't know about Tony Khan, he's this sort of the son of Shahid Khan, who owns the club. And Tony Khan splits his sort of time between running an all-elite wrestling channel, looking after, helping out the Jaguars board, and also Fulham. He's obviously was quite vocal, embarrassingly so, on Twitter at moments when sort of criticising Fulham last year. And I think sort of creative differences with Parker didn't really help. It also turns out, I think Parker alienated a lot of like the team that actually got Fulham promoted. If you think about sort of the way they rushed in a lot of signings, a lot of people completely fell off the radar almost. I mean, Joe Bryan, who I thought was exceptional, he's an exceptional Championship fullback, was hardly even given a look in the Premier League last season. Obviously, Mitrovic was shunned to the sidelines for a lot of that season as well, despite the fact we couldn't seem to really score goals. It's funny that it's kind of come to an end in this way, and that Scott Parker wanted to join a direct rival. I think that's the real kind of concern here, is that I don't think Bournemouth are equipped in the same way as Fulham to sort of go up again. They're obviously coming into their second year of parachute payments from the EFL, so there's a bit of uncertainty over them. But I mean, what do you make of Scott Parker, Will? It's easy for me to sort of sit here and riff on because I've got a bit of like an emotional affiliation with him. But do you think that he's the man for Bournemouth? He spoke about the project there and he wants to work for a project, and that's what he sees Bournemouth. He made that very clear in his statement. He doesn't necessarily see that in Fulham. He thinks Fulham's squad need a bit of an overhaul. Do you think that he's going to work his magic over on the South Coast, or have Fulham sort of played the correct trump card getting rid of him?
I think for Bournemouth, they must be like counting their lucky stars for Scott Parker to fall in the lap after, you know, playoff disappointment. But then we spoke about not many player transfers happening, but this managerial merry-go-round, easy for me to say at 8:50 this morning. Yeah. I think it's absolutely perfect because, you know, they've got the players there still from the Premier League that can get on the front foot, be attacking, and Scott Parker probably seen a few youngsters that he can bring into that starting 11 at Bournemouth, where the pressure at Fulham, you mentioned Tony Khan and his AEW days. I mean, they want entertainment, they want goals, they want it non-stop as well. So I just feel it's a better fit for Scott Parker at Bournemouth, but I'm just surprised it's happened because they've let him go to a direct rival, like you said, which is, this championship season is so open. I mean, some people are saying it's the worst championship, but, you know, if we're being positive, anyone can go up this season. So for Bournemouth to have Scott Parker as a manager, I think that's very, very dangerous for Fulham and for the rest of the championship.
Mm. They've also held on to, I mean, there's sort of talks that David Brooks might have to be sold, Dan Juma, a lot of people have been apparently looking at him, but the only thing significant transfer out I've seen of note is sort of Diego Rico at left back, and I think they'll be able to move on from that. So if they can just hold on to some of that squad there, then I think Bournemouth, yeah, they're certainly going to be pushing in and around playoff spots. His replacement at Fulham, Marco Silva. Oh my God, I'm really torn about this. I didn't particularly appreciate the way that he moved on so quickly from Watford, and then the way he sort of ditched them quickly and went over to Everton, sort of similarly jumped ship with Hull City at the time, and then at Everton it kind of got proved that for all his talent that he couldn't really coach a defence. That was the kind of my concern over at Everton, yeah. And I think he sort of quickly, after an explosive start, kind of lost momentum there, just as he did at Watford there. But I mean, what, are you a Marco Silva fan? Do you think the championship is maybe his level? Because it feels like, for me, this is the positive I've got from this is this is quite a make or break job for him if he is serious about certainly staying in English football as a manager. Because if he can't sort of coach an attacking Fulham, where they've got basically a cheat card in Mitrovic up front when it comes to the championship, if he can't get those guys sort of propel up the table, then he's going to have serious questions over his head. I mean, do you share my reservations with Marco Silva?
I think I'd be excited, just like you said, again, for getting on the front foot. It's absolutely perfect for that. I'd be worried a little bit about at the back, but, you know, bringing in someone like Harry Wilson again with Fulham, it just seems they seem to chuck money at the problem, where that's probably what Scott Parker's seen. Maybe he's obviously been forced to have a look at Bournemouth, but you can see that, you know, 4 to 5 year project where they can look at the academy, look what's coming through and bring them in. Whereas Fulham, it just seems to be season starting. How do we get up? How do we stay up? Let's throw money at this 12 months. So, I mean, this is not knocking Harry Wilson. He's absolutely phenomenal talent. So I think to have him on board, to be putting crosses in and assisting Mitrovic, is only going to help. But then, I mean, where does Mitrovic get his motivation from? He was top scorer when he came up in the Championship. Hardly got a sniff under Scott Parker in the Premier League. He, I was going to say he's getting on because he looks about 33, but he's only 25, isn't he? So
yeah, he
I
is.
Think he's going to be wanting a Premier League move as well. So I think it's just making sure you've got a motivated squad, because 46 games of Championship football, you need to be at it all the time. And I don't know whether this Fulham squad's going to be at it.
Well, I think he is probably the highest paid player in the Championship.
Well, that'll keep me going.
Mitrovic, yeah. So I think when there was lots of talk about where he might go, that was sort of the sweetener to help him out. But yeah. I agree with you. I do share those reservations about sort of the longevity of this film squad throughout the season.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
And actually, this moves on nicely to sort of the man I really wanted to see come back to Craven Cottage, which is Slavica Jokanović, who's gone to Sheffield United. I love this move. I think it's great. I think Jokanović is one of the best Championship managers around. He's obviously led Watford to promotion in 2015 and then did it with Fulham in 2018. However, I think he's got a task on his hands, sort of recalibrating this Sheffield United squad. If you think about how sort of avidly they played under that Chris Wilder system, that 3-5-2 sort of maverick sort of overlapping centre halves there. And I feel like that squad was built for Wilder and his desires. I've got reservations about how easy it's going to be to turn that around and whether or not this is a two-year project as opposed to a one-year project. I mean, Will, they lost to your side, Birmingham, on the opening day of the season. They lined up in a 4-4-2. What did you take from the early sort of signs of Sheffield United under Jokanović? And do you share my concerns with his ability to change the squad?
Yeah, I think if you're going to make implementations, I think like slowly do it. To line up, it looked like a 4-4-2 at times as well. And to have Ollie Burke and Lise Mousset up front when you got, I think there was Billy Sharp, Ollie McBurney and Rian Brewster on the bench. It was just a bit strange, really. Like, you know, I know Blues will drop deep because, well, it was a 3, maybe a 5 at the back, so you don't want to create space. But Rian Brewster has shown in the Championship what his quality is. When he gets an inch, he absolutely takes a yard because some of the goals he was scoring for Swansea when he was down here, I mean, he was scoring for fun. So maybe there's a slight, you know, wanting to get away from that Wilder system straight away, but I mean, the squad's phenomenal for the Championship. I think that the one question mark, yeah, I think for them, probably Sander Berg was the best player for me on the night for Sheffield United, just, you know, driving forward, carrying it. But I think he's going to be the one that leaves. But, you know, Jokanović, probably, you know, once they get going, it'll probably be that sort of second third of the season where we really see his magic and his full implementation on the Sheffield United side.
So just on Sander Berg, because I've heard quotes, they're looking for about 20 million for him again. They're looking to recover as much as they sort of spent on him. He obviously got injured a fair bit towards the end of last season. Do you think he's that good? Or do you think he's worth 20 million? Or do you think that maybe he needs this year in the Championship to really cement his status in English football?
I mean, it's a tricky one, isn't it? If he gets a move, well, he probably goes to a lower half Premier League side where he'd probably play, but they'll be struggling for, you know, probably fighting against relegation. So, is it he stays at Sheffield United, gets 46 games under his belt, and then, well, I mean, hopefully goes up, and then if not, gets his move. But, I mean, if you're a footballer, you've just got to think about him, haven't you? He wants to play in the Premier League. Yeah. It's probably going to happen. And I think Sheffield United probably need a bit of, well, I know they've got the parachute payments, but if you can get £20 million for a player like that, I think they'll look to recoup their money and move on.
Well, they still could get, what, £30 million for Aaron Ramsdale.
If anyone gets £30 million for Aaron Ramsdale, in the politest way possible, I'll shake their hand.
Yeah, I can agree more. More of a smart piece of business, I think, is West Brom picking up Valerian Ismail. You know what? I was a little bit worried about West Brom when they went down under Big Sam, who, you know, I've got a soft spot for. However, I think this managerial recruitment is unbelievable. I think it's so good. And I think this really could pay off as well. He's brought Alex Moat with him, sort of on the driving forces in that exceptional Barnsley side, who looked to have had their sort of moment in the sunshine. I'm struggling to see if they can replicate that again. Check out on Football Daily, we've got a video about how sort of Barnsley use their Moneyball system to and statistics to push on. It's a really good video, so go check that out recently. But yeah, I mean, we were waxing lyrical about Ishmael last time on the channel. I don't think that's going to change, is it, Will? He looks like almost the perfect man to push on this baggy side forward. He's going to have more money, better players at his disposal. I mean, what do you think about this? I think it's a brilliant, brilliant addition.
I'm worried, Henry, and it's not for the right reasons. You know, as a Birmingham City fan, I do like to see West Brom suffer, but I was actually looking this morning. West Brom, I just had it in my head, every time West Brom go into the Championship, they do well. And, you know, obviously they've been in the Premier League and in the Championship, but the last time they finished out of the top six places when they were in the Championship, I think it was either 2000 or 2001. And every year since then, they've either finished in the playoffs or automatically gone up. So whoever was there, I mean, there's no science behind this, but they were probably going to do well. But the fact that they've got him in just, you know, accelerates that. And, you know, he's got a clear style. I think, like you said, bringing Mo out with him, absolutely crucial to get the creativity. Maybe worry a little bit about goals with the striker. I know they've got Carlin Grant. He's obviously very hard to hit the ground running in the Premier League. Callum Robertson getting in there with the goals as well. So maybe look to bring one more striker in there. But yeah, it's such a great appointment for them. And you know, when they get down to the Championship, they know how to operate. I know there's been a sort of change in the boardroom over the last couple of years, but they know how to operate. They know how to do it. They know how to get into their promotion spot. So as much as it pains me to say, I think West Brom are going to have a fantastic season, which I'm absolutely delighted about.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of people pipping them for first spot. And what you said about that kind of form over the last 20 years in the Championship is unreal. I mean, anyone that knows this division knows you can be there for a little bit and then drop off it, and then you have to sort of rebuild. It's, if you don't seal that promotion, it can be so hard to keep that kind of core of players motivated, certainly with sort of like relegation parachute payments drying out a little bit. So yeah, to operate the way they do in the Championship is exceptional. And actually, based on what I've just said, Swansea are maybe at that kind of similar crossroads and whether or not they're going to be a big challenger next season, because we saw Steve Cooper, the really highly rated Steve Cooper, he got a bit unsettled at the Swans, and he moved on only a few weeks back, really. And I mean, we're seeing kind of the last remnants of their Premier League days disappear. Andre Ayew on that kind of monster contract, he's finally a free agent again. Then Mark Guay and Freddie Woodman, two players who were a huge part of their efforts last season as they got into the playoffs with the tightest defence, they've gone now as well. And apparently he was sort of disgruntled over the lack of a centre forward coming in, and with no parachute payments in the future, he's just, the Swansea project looks to be at this liminal moment of whether or not they're going to be sort of a Premier League promotion contender once more, or if they're going to sort of struggle and settle back in the mid-table of the Championship. The one positive you can say is they brought in Russell Martin of MK Dons, who is a very exciting manager. They seem to know what they're doing there since the days of Bob Bradley in terms of like recruitment on the touchline. I mean, Will, what do you think of Russell Martin? Because I think this is maybe the right manager, certainly the right time for him, and a step up on the Dons.
I was sort of surprised he took the job, actually, just because I think if you were to look at at Swansea from an outside perspective, maybe before he got offered the job, you think Steve Cooper had such a good thing going there, why would he leave? There must, you know, there's got to be a lot going on behind the scenes. And with Russell Martin, he was sort of learning his trade, you know, really implementing a very passing style, which was you know, very evident even in the first game against Blackburn this weekend, maybe a bit to their cost. But no, I was surprised he took the job, just because I think with MK Dons, he maybe could have took them to the Championship. And, you know, who knows with Swansea what's going to happen this season. So, yeah, I was surprised he took the job. But he's in the Championship now. And, you know, we've just started the season, one game in. He's 45 games away from, I mean, a very surprising push to the Premier League. But he will feel he can get them on the front foot, get them playing. But, yeah, all the players that you've mentioned that have departed, it's going to be very, very tricky for him. But Russell Martin, obviously such a young coach as well, and it's going to be tricky for him. But if he can manoeuvre those like tricky waters of what's going on above him, I think they should be safe. probably because of what's in and around them.
Well, as a my family are all AFC Wimbledon fans, so I'm more than happy to see him move on from... I can't believe I called them the Dons. That's actually criminal that I've done that.
So, yeah, we could have a takedown strike on this video.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I mean, I already get enough abuse in the comments. All right. Pat is back next week, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, so you've got something to look forward to there. Right, if we look at some of the business, as we said, it's been really quiet. If we look at some of the crazy business going on at some of the Premier League and across Europe, I'm not going to mention the big transfer that's just taken place, but yeah, that Fulham deal to sign Harry Wilson is almost accumulatively more than what every other player, every other club has spent. It's only five of the 24 teams have actually, from what I can see on Transfermarkt, have actually paid a fee for a player this year. And one of them is Martin Piero, who Middlesbrough have bought from Banfield over in Argentina for $6 million. I cannot say I have too much knowledge on him. Harry Wilson, like you say, I hope that now having a permanent home is the thing that's going to kick him on. He scored 7 goals in the Championship for Cardiff last season. Obviously scored 7 for Bournemouth in the Premier League. I really thought that would be enough to cement him as a Premier League player, but clearly it didn't quite work out. And I think this could be a perfect fit for him. He just needs a bit of consistency, show what he can do. Less more spectacular goals, more just sort of solid contribution. But yeah, Harry Wilson to Fulham, I'm very happy with that on upgrades on sort of Cabano and perhaps Caviero on the wings there. But I mean, of the business that I've sort of dotted down here, what moves most excite you? Because there's been a lot of good work in the free market this season, and a lot of teams are utilising sort of bargains and deals where they can be made. I mean, Will, what stands out to you as a very good transfer going into this season?
I want to take you to Luton, if that's all right, Henry. Which you can come along or you can stay there if you want. I think keeping Nathan Jones as manager, I felt so sorry for him when he went to Stoke, just because it didn't work. But you could see the passion, the knowledge, and just everything was there, but it didn't click. To come back to Luton, they had a phenomenal season last year. And, you know, they're in that sort of bracket of clubs that could be sneaking into that sixth, fifth position when we get to the end of the season. Because although they lost James Collins, you know, their star striker, to Cardiff, the business that they've done on the other side of that is great. I think Reece Burke coming in, Henry Lansbury as well. I mean, Henry Lansbury, we know the qualities that he's got if he can stay fit. But I think the man that took the highlights and the applause at the weekend, and rightly so, was Fred Onyedimba coming from Wickham. 2 assists, 1 goal. I mean, wow. I've seen Zidane, the movie, where they filmed him for 90 minutes with multiple cameras. I mean, if they'd have had that on Onyedimba at the weekend, I'd be going down to the my local Odeon to watch it. Absolutely fantastic. So I think that the way that they're playing, the way that Nathan Jones plays, I think, yeah, are dark horses are maybe unfair because, you know, if you know your Championship football, you know Luton are good. So I think the way that they've operated and, you know, not spent any money, I think, as well. Great to see.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. Absolutely love Nathan Jones, and I'm loving his sort of second round time redemption at Luton. Emiliano Marcondes to Bournemouth, that's sort of been heavily praised. He came on a free from Brentford there. Charlie Austin back at QPR, he scored 8 for them on loan last season. He knows what he's doing in the Championship. He netted 45 in 3 seasons when he was at the Hoops prior, so a lot of people writing off QPR's chances this year. I disagree. I think they're going to be okay. I mean, I don't think it's going to be any promotion year, but I certainly think they've got sort of the right personnel to push them on. But I just want to highlight Peterborough, really. George Grant, he was one of the standout players for Lincoln City last season. He was in their sort of the League One team of the season. He scored 13, bagged a number of assists as well. Really exciting player. He had a bit of a niche contract situation where if a side above Lincoln came in for him, they had to sort of let him go on a certain fee. And sure enough, Peterborough, who seem to have an excellent level of recruitment, they've gone in for him. And I think he's the perfect addition to join their side. And we'll talk about their star striker later. He'll be joining too. And also, I love the fact they've promoted one of the sort of potentially standout stars, Joe Tomlinson. Not the one from Football Daily, but they brought him in from Eastleigh. He's a left back there. Young Joe Tomlinson, he'll be doing bits
I've seen Tomlinson defend, and you wouldn't want the Joe Tomlinson that we know, because they'll be leaking very heavily at the back.
Oh, Oh my goodness! If anyone hasn't seen his performance at sort of Wembley last weekend, heavily nutmegged, which has led to a Nico Omelana goal. You love to see it, Big Mud for the Football Daily, Joe Tomlinson. But yeah, loving Peterborough's business there. Also, Matty James and Andy King to Bristol City, getting the band back together. The Leicester City boys. But yeah, really, really not loads of business worth noting there. As I was saying, QPR spent 1.7 million. Stoke City, 4.2 million. A bit of business there. So yeah, let's see what, if anything, materialises towards the back end of the transfer window. But I would be surprised. I think money is just so tight across the division. No more so is that more prevalent than with your side, Birmingham City. Will, how are you feeling about this squad? Lee Bowyer, you know, performed a resurrection of Birmingham last year, and this is him, you know, working his magic once more. Are you excited about any of the additions that have come in?
I think, yeah, well, especially after watching the game against Sheffield United at the weekend, Tahith Chong looked absolutely phenomenal. I think his creativity and skill was never in question, but his work rate maybe to some of the United lads that I spoke to before the season, and his strength and physicality was maybe at question, but I mean, from the one game that he's played, those rumours can be dispelled because he was absolutely phenomenal going forward, working back as well. And I think towards the end of last season when Lee Bowyer came in, okay, maybe 16 points from 18, that's not the true extent of what we can do, because that you know, that's phenomenal and, you know, different factors working. But it shows a bit more what about what we've got, because I've always thought, especially even last season and a couple of seasons before that, the core 11, even the core spine of the there's so much quality there, and I think it just needed a bigger squad, and just that little bit more. And, you know, we've had changed up in the boardroom. We've got Craig Gardner in as technical director, which, you know, some people might scoff at, but it just brings the fans closer to it, and it's just nice to having someone who knows the club in that position. We've got a manager that we love. Like we said, we've got the change at the boardroom. The fans will be back in the stadium. And looking at the business, Ryan Woods coming in, I mean, absolutely fantastic at the weekend. Yep. When he's on form, gets the ball, sprays it about, that's exactly what we need. And I think we've just added in the right areas to have a good squad to maybe have a late push. But to be honest, Henry, as long as I'm not sat here on the last day of the season fighting a relegation battle, I would take that as a success. So, yeah, just maybe looking to build and then go forward and beyond.
You know what, for you, Will, I'll be a Birmingham City fan this year. I'll cheer them on. But, yeah, couldn't agree more about that Ryan Woods deal. That looks like an exceptional piece of business. Good age, good player. Yeah, Birmingham, exactly what they needed.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
All right, let's have a look at the three sides that got promoted last season. We've already spoke a bit about Hull City, sort of how they've hit the ground running. Malik Wilkes, I'm really excited to see him perform in the Championship. I think certainly under the Hull City banner, I think he's a very, very exciting player. Blackpool, they're probably the ones I'm worried the most out of the three. Great to see them back in the Championship. They are certainly a Championship club. Sort of, I still got such great memories of the Ian Holloway era over at Blackpool. But I mean, what do you have any reservations over Blackpool going into this season, or do you think just survival is exactly what they're looking for?
Yeah, Blackpool, I think any promoted side coming up, your first objective is just to stay up in the league. But I think, you know, judging on the form that they had going into the, well, that got them promoted, they were absolutely phenomenal. And if they maybe just started the season a little bit faster, maybe they could have got into those automatic promotion places. I think that even like when we speak about Hull, you think when Sheffield United did the double, you know, they went from League One to the Championship to the Premier League, they kept that core, kept that, you know, starting 11 as close as to what they had got before. Just keeping that regular 11, because, you know, if there's success and there's goals in that, you don't need to change it. So I think there'll be a bit about that. I think they need a striker. You know, where we've spoken about Hull and Peterborough, there's clear goals in the team, or a clear, you know, number nine to get those goals. So they just need to add that. But I think we spoke about how open it is at the top of the table. I think it's really open at the bottom as well. And it is a struggle for League One sides coming into the Championship just because of the financial gap that they have to bridge. But I do really think that all three sides have got a really good chance of staying up this season.
No, I agree with you more. I mean, for Peterborough, I should say for Blackpool, Neil Critchley, great manager, has done really well over with the Seasiders there. So, yeah, they've got Richard Keogh. They've brought him into the defence. We'll see how that plays out. But, yeah, Peterborough. Let's talk about Johnson Clark-Harris, because this guy, I think, snuck under the radar. I feel like Ivan Toney in the Championship almost stole his thunder a little bit, because he got 31 goals in 45 league appearances in League One last season. That is crazy. Golden Boot. Every time I watch him, he's 6 foot, but I feel like he looks bigger. Do you know what I mean? He is such a presence up front. He's an animal in the box. So he scores free kicks for fun with his left foot. Peterborough have such an exceptional ability of finding these strikers. They always seem to have one knocking around, don't they? How do you feel Johnson Clark-Harris is going to cope in the Championship? He certainly looks ready for a step up. Interestingly, his career's only really boomed in the last sort of 2-3 seasons. He was a bit of a slow grower, and then suddenly he's gone for it. What do you think? Is he going to be a repeat offender in the Championship? Is he going to pull off some of the magic that we saw last year? Because he certainly could be one of the players to watch.
Yeah, I think I studied him quite closely just because of the with Peterborough and the Papa John's Trophy with the work I was doing there. But like you said, it feels like he's got it all. And then to add the fact that he can do set pieces onto it as well, it just makes me, you know, get more excited about him. It just drags you in, doesn't it, to this story. So I think he's going to be the man to get the goals for Peterborough this season. And yeah, I do think last season with Ivan Toney, it took him a while to get off the mark. And I mean, if he'd have started as well as he's finished, he could have been about 50, 60 goals for the season. So maybe it'd be a bit of that adaptability for him at the start. But I think he's definitely, I mean, to score the amount of goals that he did in League One last year, that's not a fluke. He's going to crack on. And for Peterborough and Hull, they've got the clear goal scorers. But with Blackpool, I just worry a little bit about them.
I agree more. I love like Darren Ferguson, Peterborough connection. Sometimes a manager in a club just makes sense, and that just seems to be like an enduring relationship there. But yeah, everyone watch out for Johnson Clark-Harris. You could be hearing way more about him across the season. Alright, well, we're at that tricky moment. We'll try and race through some of these. We're going to do some predictions. Who are your top three? Who are finishing in the automatic playoff places for you this year? And then maybe we'll run through the playoffs. What are you thinking this season?
I'm going to go for West Brom, just because, as much as it pains me to say, I think they've got the best. They brought in a great manager. They've got a fantastic squad. So I just think, as an overall package, that's definitely the best one. And then secondly, I'm going to go for Bournemouth. And then in third place, or up by the playoffs, you know, hope is all we have. So I'm going to go for Birmingham City in the playoffs.
Right. Okay. Bit of slight on Fulham, I see. I agree with you. West Brom, I think they're certainly going to run out top. I actually think Sheffield United, once they get pairing again. And then I think Fulham are going to make the playoffs. They might have to do it the hard way. But third, I just don't think you can look past Neil Warnock sometimes at Middlesbrough. Yeah. I think he just knows exactly what he's doing. I love Neil Warnock. I think they could be a real promotion contender this season. Now he's sort of got to grips with that squad. I also think my outside bet for this year is Stoke City as well. I really like what they're doing there. I think Michael O'Neill is an exceptional coach. I think he's sort of replicated that slowly but surely. His days from Northern Ireland, he's sort of slowly pushing Stoke up the table. And I do like them in the Premier League. I feel like Stoke could be an outside gamble. See, I'm going to put them in the playoffs as well with Fulham. I mean, if you had to Birmingham aside, if you had to pick like a wild card here, because we haven't talked about the likes of Blackburn, we haven't talked about the likes of sort of Nottingham Forest that Chris Hughton looks to have got sort of his head around again. I still struggle to see them pushing on. Who can you see maybe putting together a bit of a surprise run this season?
I think there's a few. I think I've spoken and waxed lyrical about Luton Town already, but I think with Millwall, Gary Rowett's in his sort of perfect position. You know, he's had the chances at Derby and Stoke where maybe for that time and that position, it was a bit above him, but he's at Millwall where it's a club, you know, sort of fighting upwards. And they've been overachieving and overperforming, I believe, since he's been there. And, you know, he's embedded his roots. He's been there, I was going to say a long time, which it is really for any manager in the modern day. So I really think that they've got a chance. And with Jed Wallace, you've got goals. Former Blue and Michael Kiftenbell there, who can run all day long and break up play. So I think Millwall, and in the league form, they've shown it. So I think that they could be the surprise package for me.
All right, yeah. I mean, bringing back George Saville as well, that's a really smart move from Millwall. Had a great first sort of season, first sort of period with the club. And I think I completely agree with you. I think Gary Rowett, he deserves... I think he's an exceptional coach, and I think he deserves this sort of moment to prove his worth. We've already talked about Derby as a flop. I mean, who else are you worried for? If we're looking at that relegation scrap, who do you think we're saying goodbye to this time around?
Let's take the newly promoted sides away from it, and then I think it's more about the sort of clubs that maybe have got a bit of chaos going off the field. I think Reading have slightly gone under the radar a little bit. They've sold a lot of their and lost a lot of their key players as well. Even backroom, like I know John O'Shea's left, who was coaching down there as well, which just makes you think what's going on down there. Huddersfield stayed up at the end of last season, but I think they're really going to struggle this year as well. So for me, it could be between like Reading, Huddersfield Town and Derby County for me. And that's before you even bring in to play the newly promoted side.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think losing Michael Olise is going to really destabilise that sort of Reading attack. I struggle to see how they're all going to sort of gel without that. I couldn't agree with you more there. I think Bristol City are the other ones I'm going to maybe throw into the mixer. I'm just not sort of... Didn't really work out for them last season. Nigel Pearson didn't maybe have that kind of bump that I think the club were expecting. I haven't been too impressed with obviously Andy King, whatever, Matty James, but I'm slightly concerned for Bristol City too. But I agree with you, Derby County and certainly Huddersfield. I think Huddersfield, I was reading something, it's like it's almost unbelievable that they were a Premier League side. I think
they got promoted in their playoff run without scoring any goals.
Is that right? Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, they even stayed up for a season, so like respected them for that. But yeah, I really struggle to see it. All right, well, thank you so much. Is there anything else you think our audience should look out for this season in the Championship, or any other reason to get excited by, as you say, the best division in the world?
I think if you're coming up against Birmingham City this season and you think it's going fine, maybe it's 0-0, maybe you're winning 1-0, but there's a cross that comes into the back post and then all of a sudden you see Lukas Jukovic. You know, just clash your hands together, pray to the gods, because that ball's going in the net and the Duke's scoring, and don't you know, pump it up, because the Blues might be going up.
Love it. All right, well, I think we've almost covered every team in sort of some detail in this podcast. Hopefully, fingers crossed, we're going to be doing a lot more Championship work here on the channel with Will, hopefully, so stay tuned for that. We'll keep you informed. Big news, Pat Van Straten, it's looking like he will be back next season, next week, in fact, next season, in the hot seat. So you can all set your alarms for that. Thank you so much, Will, for joining me today on the podcast. And thank you, everyone at home, for listening, whether it be on Spotify. Make sure you're liked and subscribed to the Football Daily Extra Time podcast channel. And tell your friends about it. We want to spread the word as we go into the next season. We're super excited. We want you to be here for every episode. All right. Thank you, everyone. Goodbye.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand-new luxury apartments. River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.